This is IGN.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh, modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast, free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
This is IGN.
Far Cry 6 Control DLC Review. I never really considered Far Cry a series that was ripe for the roguelite treatment, and Far Cry 6's Control DLC doesn't do much to convince me otherwise. This looping gauntlet provides an interesting exploration of one of its more complex villains, Far Cry 4's pink-suited pagan Min. But Control's small-scale open world doesn't deliver the same free-form fun as the base game, or even other expansions from Far Cry's past. The concept will be familiar to anyone who's seen Inception, Dreamscape, or really any even mildly sci-fi adjacent TV show or movie in recent memory. You take control of Pagan while trapped in a prison of his own mind and must complete a series of trials to help restore his sanity, or perhaps more accurately, his delusional self-image. To do so, you'll need to collect the 3 shards of his golden mask. Yes, it's a little on the nose, I know. From around the bizarro version of a Kairati Valley that has become his subconscious home. It's not clear whether this is a hallucination during his death throes, or just some sort of weird dream, though if I remember correctly, canon lore is that Pagan survives at the end of Far Cry 4, but the concept feels like a natural extension of the trippy sequences that have become a series staple. The world itself is a neon-splattered trip down memory lane for fans of Far Cry 4. From the floating temples and massive gold statues that command the map's yellow brick road golden pathways, to the stylized recreations of recognizable locations like Pagan's Royal Palace, or the dilapidated home of FC4 protagonist AJ Gale's mother. While it can certainly feel like you're seeing a lot of recycled material, the design team definitely nailed the look of this mental monument to Pagan's hubris. That still could have devolved into an otherwise forgettable slog between combat encounters, but what truly sells the delusion is the return of voice actor Troy Baker as the starring villain and a clever, insightful script from the story team helmed by Nikki Foy. It's fascinating to get a sense of how Pagan Min viewed the events of Far Cry 4, especially in contrast to all the hours I spent listening to his propaganda broadcasts in 2014. Control could have done with a more in-depth refresher on what actually happened at the end of that game, but it does a good job of delving into the importance of the family drama that preceded it, and Pagan's sense of self. It all makes for an interesting exploration of the villain's true nature, made even more ambiguous by the ever more unreliable narration you get from Pagan in conversation with his inner demons, which are some of Baker's best moments, though his delivery is consistently great throughout. There may be some aspects of his personality that are clearer than others. He's definitely still a narcissist with a flair for the dramatic, but after the roughly 5 hours it took to roll credits the first time, I came away with a decidedly more nuanced view of the character that went beyond the stereotypical charismatic psychopath I remembered. Outside of its story moments, however, Control stumbles a bit in Pagan's luxurious loafers. Its take on the roguelite formula is pretty standard. You have one chance to complete all 3 combat trials, then survive the final challenge. If you die, you start again with nothing, though you can use currency, in this case, respect, that you acquire during runs to purchase persistent upgrades that will make you stronger and your limited arsenal more powerful on your next try. It's an interesting use of Far Cry's mechanics in theory, but the constraints demanded by the roguelite concept mean that this DLC leans heavily on fairly basic gunplay and little else, which isn't necessarily Far Cry's strongest suit. That signature Far Cry sense of freedom and the ability to approach its open-world systems with a wide variety of tactics are almost entirely missing here as a result. There are only 9 weapons, all of which, save for your pistol, need to be unlocked by completing challenges across the map, which I would guess is roughly a quarter the size of Far Cry 6's Yara. Those unlocks are persistent, which is handy, but once I was able to start a run with an assault rifle, grenade launcher, or what might be Far Cry's slowest shotgun, I was well enough equipped that I never felt compelled to unlock any others. You can still freely explore and tackle any activity in any order, including the 3 main objectives that unlock its final challenge, but your options while doing so ultimately feel rather limited. You can't manipulate any wildlife, and with no vehicles to speak of, you can really only choose whether to run in guns blazing or try and keep things stealthy, and that's only if you manage to roll one of the randomized weapon loadouts that happens to come with a silencer. What ultimately left me convinced that the roguelite format was a poor fit for Far Cry was its lack of variety. It took me 4 or 5 cycles to complete my first run, and given the repetitive nature of its open-world activities, and the recycling of the few boss characters, on the lowest difficulty you'll face one of them a minimum of 4 times with little to no variation, that you'll encounter throughout each run, I sadly found myself lacking any real drive to revisit much of Control. The verdict. The strength of Far Cry, especially in 6, has always been its dynamic, open-ended approach to gameplay. And while there are echoes of that in the Control DLC, it's curtailed enough that it feels like a more basic FPS. Troy Baker reprises his performance as the self-obsessed King of Kairat, which is enjoyable throughout, and the story provides some interesting new perspectives on one of Ubisoft's most iconic villains. It even adds some interesting details to the series lore. However, its roguelite elements are a bit too restrictive, and its missions and battles much too repetitive, to make battling pagan Min's inner demons a devilishly good time.
Spoken Lair.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.